Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And our prayer focus the first 2 weeks is that the word of the Lord would have free course in our ministries, and then that God would send forth laborers. And the third prayer focus I want to have tonight is that God would heal our land. Is it too late to pray to God about America?
No,
it's never too late for God to act upon a nation. And so you know this passage of Scripture well. And in chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, if my people in a nation, his people are those that are in Christ. That's us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm reminded that in the Scripture, in God's economy of things, it's what his people do that is directly related to what he does with a land. It's what his people do. If his people turn, if his people seek here, if his people humble themselves, God responds to his people. That being said, let's pray over our land tonight. Lord, we love America. And Father, we're thankful that, Lord, we get to be in America. Lord, we get to raise children in America. But Lord, our land's in horrible shape. And Lord, just wickedness abounds. And Lord, we call right wrong and we call wrong right. Lord, your word says, woe is unto them that do that. Lord, we have government that, Lord, seeks to really destroy our nation by destroying our moral foundations, Lord, by destroying and the word of God and taking the word of God out of culture and prayer. And Lord, really a godless culture. And Lord, we pray for our land tonight. And Lord, if we understand your word to be true, then Lord, we understand that the healing of our land has much to do with us. Lord, as individuals, we can humble ourselves. Lord, we can turn from our wicked ways. We can seek you, as we studied that word seek this morning. You said you'll hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. So Lord, tonight we're reminded in this passage of Scripture as we pray, please, Lord, deal with us. And when you deal with us, Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to be repentant, to turn, Lord, from our sins. Lord, help us to seek your face for our country. Lord, we still believe that you could heal our land. We pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Remember America tonight. I'm just trying to bring before you a prayer focus each and every week. If you're here tonight and you did not get the prayer guide, the weekly prayer guide, you did not get it this morning, you would like a copy of this, please raise your hand. I want to make sure that everybody that wants one has gotten one or received one. I believe everybody has. Our ushers do a good job. Oh, a couple, one up here. I'm sorry. And a couple up here. Brother Butch or one of the ushers in the back, if you could bring in some tablets so that we could get two to the Schweitzers and one to Susan Petty. The tablet was designed just to give you something to work with for a week at a time. So there are 52 sheets on it, and you can tear one off and you can use it. I encouraged everybody this morning to find a time going into a new week that you can use it. On the prayer guide, there's a place for your weekly appointment with God at the top and the date. And then some things that you may praise God about. This afternoon, I took time to write about six things down that I wanted to praise the Lord for who he is this week. And then over here, I will thank God this week for. And I wrote some things to thank the Lord for. You know one thing that God brought to my mind this afternoon to write down? That my vehicles are running. That's of the Lord. The Lord provides the basic things of life. There may be other things there. And then underneath that, what God is prompting me to pray for this week. So maybe there's something that just keeps coming back Today I wrote down something that two or three times today it came to my mind about this particular thing that I needed to pray for. And so prompting me. Then the lost people that I'm praying for this week, just to keep even that question, just, Lord, I need to be concerned about your kingdom. Is there somebody personally that I'm working with, burdened for, to see come to know Christ? Burdens I'm praying for, and then prayers at the bottom that God answered this week. Then on the back of that, there's a Bible prayer of the week, which you may read a Bible prayer. I recorded today that Jesus' prayer. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I thought, Lord, that'll be a good prayer for me to zero in on this week. Of course, in Sunday school, at the end of the Sunday school hour every other week, you're going to be hearing different prayers that are read in the scripture and some thoughts on those. Then the prayer quote of the week. My prayer quote for this week is that the greatest thing I can do for God and man is to pray. The greatest thing that I can do for God and man is to pray. And then what I learned about prayer, maybe you want to write some notes of what you learned about prayer in the morning message, or maybe in reading that you're doing, but write that, you can use that. And then a prayer promise that I can claim this week. And I wrote down, ask, seek, knock, given, find, and he opens. That's a promise. We preach that in the morning message. And so you may not write down something every week, but can I encourage you to jog your mind about prayer? Take some time to think about talking to God. You know what? It'll strengthen your mind and it'll strengthen your focus on prayer. And so I'm only going to go over it tonight. I went over it this morning. We're not going to do that every week, but I want you to know what it's for. It's just a guide to help you. Say, Pastor, I know what I'm doing. That's fine. We're not trying to shove anything down anybody's throat. We're trying to make things available that only enhance your personal time with God. All right? That being said, I'll take two testimonies, maybe three if we have them tonight, before we open the service. Anybody with a word of testimony? Pastor Todd's got one.
Yeah, so as announced this morning, we praise the Lord for the test results. No cancer. And so we do praise the Lord for that. But beyond that, really, it's what God is doing in my life and family's life, what we're doing as a church, learning about him and how it affects our prayers. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Esther?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 The love of the church toward Esther and her family, especially her grandmother, all the cards and care for them. She appreciates that tonight. Somebody else? One more tonight? Anybody? Oh, I got three. We'll take all three. Jordan? Amen. 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 So the seed of the gospel yesterday with Dave and Jordan, thanks you for praying. Many of you praying on that front. Brother Joe.
And it's going good, and I'm down to a dose.
Amen.
Of medication and being off.
Amen. Amen.
What a blessing now to be in. It's going really well. So my prayer is.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for miracles in Joe's body, ability to trim down the medication, and hoping to go farther down that road. Amen. One last one. Carol in the back. Go ahead. Amen. 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 Good testimony about reading through the Bible. Stand with me tonight, if you would. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Pray over some of the needs in the flock as we open. Lord Jesus, we pray and thank you for your sacrifice on Calvary for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the love that you give to us one for the other. And Lord, privileged to be together in church tonight. Lord, many of our number are missing. And Lord, we certainly bring them to you tonight. Think of Brother Bobby and Petra and Lord Greg Dirks. Lord, lift up some of these folks into Eaton, Lord. Pray for Harry and Donna, Lord, tonight. Remember them in our prayers, Lord. We lift up before you others, Lord. We thank you that Darlene could come back to church today. We pray for Carol Sponoggle, Lord, dealing with the shingles. And Lord, we think of Bill Strausser tonight and Brother Newton tonight. And Lord, those physical burdens and Lord, other burdens that they're facing, Lord, we ask that you would lift some of them. And Lord, as we pray tonight, we're asking and Lord, we're seeking. And Lord, many times from the pulpit, we have prayed over these people, many of the same names. And Lord, we're claiming those promises of ask, seek, and knock, Lord. As we knock again on your throne on behalf of these, Lord, we love them. Lord, we ask that you would answer our prayers on these fronts for our dear saints that we miss here, Lord. And Bill Heim, I know, Lord, has been down as well. And Lord, I certainly pray for him tonight as well, Lord. We pray for Brother Hardecker preaching the funeral over there, Lord, as the gospel goes forth. Draw people to yourself, Lord, through that. Lord, we pray for the Buckmasters tonight, Lord, the sorrow that Becca and Scott are facing. And Lord, along with Larry and Annette, the rest of the family, uphold them, comfort them, Lord. Thank you for the promise of heaven. And Lord, we pray that your grace will minister to them tonight. Lord, we think of Cindy Nichols, who is in the hospital, Lord, Carol Hill, Lord, some others that, Lord, are dealing with some physical matters. Lord, Elizabeth Wachowiak still maybe not fully recovered from whatever she's dealing with. We hold these people up to you tonight, God. And we're glad that you're interested in the people that we care about. You're interested in all people. Lord, we pray that you would meet with us in this service. We claim the promise that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. Lord, may we sense your presence as we sing, minister to one another in song, and then, Lord, in the preaching, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing. Take your songbooks. We'll sing together. God bless you.
Hymn number 798. Hymn number 798. The first two stanzas we'll sing down to the bottom of the page, and the last stanza we'll sing the song the whole way through into the other page. What they call that thing, I don't know, but that's what we're going to do. Hymn number 798, Surely Goodness and Mercy. Thank you. Please remain standing for prayer. Brother Tom, would you pray over offering, please?
Thank you, Lord, for being with us each and every day, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you prize our hearts. Yes, that here that don't know you as Lord and Savior. Come to know you. Thank you, pray.
Please be seated. Would you stand with me, please? Turn to hymn number 567. Hymn number 567, All Your Anxiety. Again, we'll sing all three stanzas. Hymn number 567. Be seated.
To the Lord, take it to
Take your Bibles now. Turn to Psalms, Psalm chapter 19. Psalm, book of Psalms, chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. When you found Psalm chapter 19, would you stand with me if you would for the reading of God's word? Just going to read three verses starting in verse 12, the last three verses of the psalm. Psalm chapter 19, starting in verse 12. The Bible says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, as we read these words in this psalm, O God, I pray that you would help. I pray that you would help each and every one of us. I pray you'd help me to earnestly pray these words to you, Lord, that we would not have presumptuous sins, Lord, that we would, Lord, be cleansed from secret faults. Oh God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us be honest with you. We have a secret sin or a secret fault, Lord, a presumptuous sin, Lord, that we would confess that and get that right with you. God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us tonight listen intently for what you have for us individually. We would not be afraid or timid or shy about confessing what we need to before you and getting right what we need to for you. Lord, I ask that you would help us, Lord, rejoice in these words, Lord, that you care enough about us that you would want us to get right with you. Father, I pray that you would give to our preacher the words you want him to preach tonight. Ask, Lord, that you would definitely be glorified in everything tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the music. We thank you, Lord, for the preaching this morning and what we're learning about prayer. Pray that you would help us, Lord, to improve and, Lord, get better and, Lord, step it up in our prayer lives, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
How many of you have a study Bible that you use? You have a study Bible and you enjoy using a study Bible. You don't have to have a study Bible to make the observation that I'm going to make, but do you see a stark or a very clear division, I should say, between verses 1 through 6 and verses 7 through 14? How many of you in your study Bible or in your Bible, it's broken down with different headings there between chapter verses 1 through 6 and 7 through 12, all right? You have that in your Bible, all right? When you have that in your Bible, just kind of the editor of the Bible is just helping you to understand kind of here's a theme and then here's a change in theme or here's another direction. The whole of the psalm is really exalting God, and he begins chapter 19 with "the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Or in other words, look around. The world is amazing in what God created. And you can read about that for the first six verses, just highlighting God throughout all of that. But then he switches gears in verse 7. And he talks about the law of the Lord. And the psalmist, this is very similar to Psalm 119, where the Bible uses different terms to describe the word of God. The terms like precept, thy precepts, or thy testimonies, or thy word. And here we have that, the law of the Lord. Speaking of the word of God in its complete form is perfect. It's converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, speaking about the word of God, is sure, and it's making wise the simple. You want to make your children wise. Spend a lot of time in the Bible with them. Get them in the Bible. Ask God to give them a hunger for the Bible. And if they have a hunger for the Bible and they get in the Bible for themselves, they will be made a wise person. And if they don't, my friend, they will be left a simple person. The Bible says that the Word makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, and the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He just goes on and on about the Word of God. But then he says in verse number 10, he begins to think about it personally. He says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And then he gets even more personal in verses 12, 13, and 14 because he prays three prayers to the Lord. I've entitled the message, Three Prayers to Pray to God About Me. It's really after you've been in the Word. He had been in the Word. He had been meditating. He had been reading the Word. And as a result of that reading and that intake of the Word, it was accomplishing a cleansing purpose in his life. One writer wrote this. He said, there are two kinds of cleansing. There is a radical cleansing from sin that depends upon the blood of Christ. And then he said, there's also a recurrent cleansing from sin that depends on the Word of God. What he was saying is this. Obviously, the only thing that can cleanse us is the blood of Christ. But the Word of God in our lives should have the effect of bringing us to the realization that we need cleansed again and again and again in our lives. And the psalmist came to that conclusion. He prayed three prayers in verses 12 through 14. A lady once asked a captain if he knew where all the rocks and shallows were in the sea. Oh, no, he said, pointing to his chart, but I know where the deep water is. God's word is a chart which will steer us clear of the rocks or the sins of life. David was writing from experience. He wasn't writing from a person that had never stepped into sin in his life. He was writing from a perspective that I have been in sin in my life. And when I get there again, Lord, I need you to cleanse me. Let's look at these three prayers that are prayed by David in Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14. First of all, look at the first prayer in verse number 12. The Bible says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. On one side of the coin here, David's saying, I can't even understand in all the different ways, Lord, that I fall short of you. Lord, I'm not wise enough. My heart is so deceitful that if I start to get off, I don't even recognize that I'm getting off. Who can understand his errors? And then he goes into the deep compartments of his life, and he says this, cleanse thou me from secret faults. From secret faults. You know, here the psalmist, after pondering about God's creation and pondering about God's word, he's convicted of private sins. Sins that not everybody else may see. We could say it, maybe sins of the heart. Maybe sins done in private and in the dark. But David, after being under the word of God, prayed. He prayed to God, cleanse thou me of secret faults. May I remind you tonight, our secret sins are no secret to God. Lord, show me my faults, essentially is what David's praying here. And then, Lord, don't let me get away with secret sin. Lord, the sins of the heart. Lord, the sins done in the dark, the sins that I do when nobody else is around, Lord, cleanse me of those secret faults. You know what the idea of the word cleanse here is? It means to acquit or to hold guiltless. It is a court term or it is a legal term that when somebody is acquitted, they are set free. And they are not held responsible. They are not held as guilty. Can I tell you some of the greatest guilt that people bear are over secret sins? Secret sins. Sins that nobody else has any idea about. David had some secret sins. And he said, Lord, what he was saying was this, Lord, the guilt load is awful heavy on me. God, would you cleanse me? Would you acquit me? Would you hold me guiltless over these sins that I've committed that are secret? Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. If you're a youngster here tonight, before we get there, help me out. What is Exodus 20 talking about? What do we have in Exodus chapter 20? Somebody under 13 years old, tell me. Anybody know? Exodus chapter 20. The 10 what? The 10 commandments. Verse number 7, we have the commandment of not taking the name of the Lord in vain. Look at this verse carefully with me. The Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him what? Guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Or in other words, if you take God's name in vain, if you say, oh my, and you fill it in with the name of God, and you use it in a common way rather than in a sacred way of speaking to God, God says, you're guilty. You understand, Christian, that without the cleansing power of God in your life, you are guilty of the sins that you commit against God. And David knew that. And David went a period of time in his life where he didn't ask for cleansing. And can I tell you, when we don't ask for cleansing, guilt abounds. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit to bring us to the point that we ask for cleansing. In your life tonight, is there any guilt that you're bearing over sin that you have not asked God to cleanse you of? Because David, when he was under the Word of God and the light of the Word of God shone on his life, he got convicted about it and he said, I've got to do something about my secret faults. Lord, cleanse me of my secret faults. Job chapter 10, verse number 14, he wanted to be cleansed of all of his sin. And Job, in verse 14, if I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. You understand that for you to live with unconfessed sin in your life, Job was testifying that I am held guilty for those things. Now, it doesn't change my going to heaven, but it does mean this, that when God looks down and I haven't confessed it, he marks me as you're guilty of that. And you're guilty of that until I cleanse you. When I cleanse you, I acquit you of it. There's no longer that guilt. My friend, if you're bearing guilt, why don't you wake up to the scriptures tonight and say, I'm done with that. There's an easier step than for me to bear this heavy load upon my shoulders of being guilty even over secret sins in my life. I'm going to ask for cleansing and acquittal. And when we ask for cleansing, what does God do? God gives us that cleansing, doesn't he? His first prayer tonight in this passage is the plea for acquittal from secret sin. But then he moves from private sin or secret sin to presumptuous sins. All sins are great sins, but yet some sins are greater than others. Preacher, I'm not sure I agree with that. Well, I want to study the scriptures with you tonight. Every sin has the venom of rebellion in it. But you understand, presumptuous sins go to another level. And David here writes in verse number 13, a second prayer unto the Lord for all of us to glean from tonight. And that is, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion or control or reign in my life over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. It would be nice if we could say that all sins are just accidents. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just say that was an accident, I didn't mean to do that? But the truth is, that's not how the Bible defines sin. sin, particularly presumptuous sin. Adam and Eve provide an illustration for us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to turn there. Of somebody that commits a sin and they are deceived by the sin. In other words, they step into a trap. And then somebody that knows better and knows not to step into the trap and sees the trap for what it is and still steps into the trap. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14, the Bible says here, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." The woman was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. When the woman offered to Adam, Adam wasn't sitting there going, you know, maybe this is okay. Adam knew. Adam knew. I partake of that, I'm sinning against God. And Adam knowingly, knowing the law of God, partook of it. And he sinned knowing. Or we could say it this way, he sinned willfully. He was not without understanding as to the choice of his actions. Young people, may I speak to your hearts tonight? Would you listen to me not only with your ears, but would you listen to me with your hearts to this point in the message? You are in a privileged place. If you have a Christian home and you have Christian parents and they bring you to a Bible-believing church and they bring you to a Bible-believing church that has as many deposits of the Scripture into your life as it has here, numbers of deposits every week into your life, special services, great weeks of camp and preachers that come in and deposit and preach and proclaim the Word of God. And you know what they do? They show you the difference between the holy and the profane. They mark what is right and they mark what is wrong. That's a tremendous privilege in your life. But could I say tonight, it is a dangerous place as well. What do you mean, preacher? For you to get the knowledge that you're getting, and for you to someday turn your back on what you've been taught is right and wrong from the Scriptures and change the course of your life is a deliberate move against what you know, and that is dangerous. It is very dangerous. It is presumptuous sin. You say, preacher, help me to understand more fully what is presumptuous sin. It's sins that are done willfully. It's sins that are done proudly. It's sins that are done intentionally. They don't always have to be private sin. They can be public sins which defy the Bible, defy the truths of the Bible. When somebody's been brought up in a Bible-believing church, and they publicly identify themselves, having grown up in a church, and they publicly identify themselves as transgender or homosexual or lesbian, or they publicly identify themselves as an atheist or as an agnostic, or they've turned their back on everything that they know, they're committing a presumptuous sin. That's a deliberate move against what God says. And that's serious, my friend. That's not something we wink at. That's not something we just feel sorry about. That's a serious place to be before God when you commit presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sin is done in the face of light. Yes, I know what God says here, but I'm going to do opposite of that. That's presumptuous sin. It's sin that's done in face of the knowledge of what the Lord Jesus Christ is like and what the Word of God teaches. A presumptuous sin is a sin that relies on the success of my past. It is committed with the idea that since God hasn't judged me yet, so I guess He's not going to continue to judge me if I partake or I commit this particular sin. That's a presumptuous sin. That's presuming on the grace of God. God forgave me the last time I sinned, and it's apparent that He did nothing else about my sin. Therefore, He'll do the same thing the next time I sin, and I can just keep asking for forgiveness over and over and over again. And that mindset shows that you have a presumptuous heart toward God. Right. David's saying here, Lord, keep me back from those sins in my life. When we're like Samson and we can feel like we can toy with sin and not get burned. Be careful. Samson felt that way until he got the haircut in the devil's barbershop one day. You can't commit presumptuous sin and think it's okay before a holy God that judges sin. Presumptuous sin is a violation against the witness of your conscience. It's the violation against given counsel that's based upon Scripture and the revelation of the Word of God. Presumptuous sin is feeling we are above temptation and sin ourselves, feeling that we can get to the edge. We can get right to the edge of sin and we can pull ourselves back at the last minute. My friend, you are not strong enough to do that, and neither am I. That's presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin is committed with deliberation or forethought. A passing thought to sin is not presumptuous sin. But when the thought is mulled over and enacted upon, it becomes willful sin. When someone has been taught what is right and wrong, but then approves wrong and mocks right, that's a presumptuous sin. We have people that have grown up in good independent Baptist churches. May I say they've not been perfect, and there is no perfect ones. But they have grown up in some good Bible teaching and preaching and leave the church to mock the church and mock what's right. And I'm saying, according to the Scriptures, we ought to pray, keep us back from that in our lives. Sin is great when a man not only has the light of conscience, but he has the admonition of friends, spiritual friends, and the advice of those who are wise and esteemed, and somebody says, please, 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 I'm pleading with you, don't go that way. Don't violate that Scripture. Don't violate that principle in your life. You'll end up paying for it. The consequences are great. And a presumptuous person, a person that's headed down the road of presumptuous sin, steps over conscience, steps over counsel, steps over principle, steps over everything to do what he wants. And I'm saying the second prayer that David prayed, when he saw the Word of God, when he saw the effect of the Word of God, he said, Lord, please keep me back. Lord, if I get going that direction, pull me back. Restrain me from a presumptuous sin. Did you know the Bible talks about presumptuous sin in the Old Testament? Turn in your Bibles to Numbers 15. Numbers chapter 15. You say, preacher, what do I pray before God? Having been under the Word of God, you ought to pray, God, acquit me of private or secret sins. God, the things that maybe nobody else sees but you see. God, would you cleanse me of those? God, I don't want to bear the guilt of those. God, I need cleansing and I need freed from the guilt. God has the power to answer that prayer. Maybe you need to pray that prayer tonight. Maybe as I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit's bearing down upon you about private sin in your life. And tonight, you need to come to an altar and you need to find cleansing. You need to pour your heart out to God and say, God, I've borne the guilt of this long enough. I'm asking, Lord, for freedom, acquittal tonight through your cleansing power. But then, keep me back from presumptuous sins. Notice in verse number 29 of Numbers 15, the Bible says, ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance. Through ignorance. We're at camp. Camp, somebody came in late. They missed the time of orientation, the rules. In orientation, we give rules, and one of the rules is that you're not supposed to be out at the playground before breakfast begins. And we wake up the next morning, and there's a camper out by the playground. First time at camp, first year at camp. They weren't able to get there. Their bus had a late arrival. They didn't hear the rules, and they honestly say, I didn't know. And we say to them, well, we want to help you. Now you do know. And so just make sure that you abide by that in the future. That's what he's dealing with, verse number 29 in the law. There was here the Bible says, one law for him that sinneth through ignorance. But look at verse 30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproach of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Huh. It seems to me like in God's economy of the law, if you did a sin of ignorance, your punishment was different than if you sinned presumptuously. You sin presumptuously, get out of the nation of Israel. You're put off. You're cut out. You're cut off of impacting others. Your spirit, your attitude, your direction, everything about you is dangerous to others. God says the only thing I can do is cut you out. Read on in this passage. Verse 31. Because he hath what? Despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And we have a practical illustration in verses 32 through 34 of the gathering of sticks on the Sabbath. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to what? Death. You know what? God wasn't judging the seriousness of the actual action of picking up sticks. What he was judging and sending a message was, that person committed a presumptuous sin. And that has no place with me. And so he cut him off. What was true about that person, according to the scriptures, they despised the word of the Lord. You say, preacher, how do I raise a child that becomes an adult involved in presumptuous sin? You let them get away with things without dealing with things so that they understand that when you speak, they listen. Are you listening to me, parents? There's way too much looseness with our kids and allowing them to disregard whatever we say in our home that we're expecting them to do and to live by, and they disregard it, and it's okay. You know what you're teaching them to do? You're teaching them to despise the word of the Lord. And when you teach them to despise the word of the Lord, I want to tell you how that's going to end up someday. It's going to end up with a kid that lives presumptuously, that doesn't care what God says, that doesn't care what you say, that doesn't care what godly counsel says, that doesn't care what the word of God says, that doesn't care what anybody says. That's a presumptuous person. And that person down that road almost becomes unrecoverable at some point. And so may I remind you, parents, you correcting your children, you getting them to understand that they need to listen to you and they need to obey you. It is a much bigger deal than just them not taking out the trash. It is you're setting them up as to how to respond to God in their life. And that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. Well, preacher, I'm sorry. I got corrected too much. I'm not going to correct. You're foolish biblically. You're foolish. Understand, you're teaching them, you're setting up their life in a path that if they understand authority and they respond to authority and you're loving but you're firm and you're disciplined and you bring them along in their life, but when you say no, you mean no, and they get the message. You're setting them up to understand that God works the same way. And to do without that, you are setting them up to have heartbreak down the road in their lives. Oh, young parents, listen to me tonight. Don't be afraid to discipline your kids. Don't be afraid. No. Did you hear what Dad said on that? Dad meant what he said. And the only way for me to get that across to you when you disobey is to send a message to you that you can't do that. You can't disregard Dad. Because, son, someday you're going to listen to God. And if you think you can disregard Dad, you're going to think you can disregard God. And I don't want that to happen in your life. Here the Bible teaches us God's view of somebody that's in presumptuous sin is that they despise the word of God. We know in Proverbs that he that despiseth the word shall be destroyed, bringing self-destruction upon yourself. And so let's understand tonight that God's serious when he deals with this sin. Did you know that the law made no provision for willful sin? Did you know that there was no sacrifice in the Old Testament for willful sin? All other sins had a sacrifice, but not willful sin in God's economy of things. Question for you as we think about this passage tonight. David's writing it. Did David willfully sin against God? He did. Do you think that he knew it was wrong to commit adultery? did he do it? Do you think that his murder of Uriah was premeditated? It was deliberate. It was willful. Old Testament, no sacrifice for that. David's toast. Say, preacher, prove it to me. If you committed adultery in the Old Testament, what happened to you? That was the sacrifice. You're stoned. Was David sin in the face of light and knowledge of God's laws? Yep. But David wrote in Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Say, preacher, I'm not proud of this, but I'm on the edge or the cliff of being involved in presumptuous sin in my life. Or, preacher, I am involved in it. Is there hope for me? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. Because the grace of God trumps the law and the sacrificial system. And David went to God in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. Watch this. Having committed presumptuous sin in his life. And you know what? He found the same available cleansing, the same forgiveness that he would find in any other aspect of his life. But could I say this? Presumptuous sin almost destroyed his entire life. That's why you ought to pray, Lord, keep me back from going down this direction. But if you are living there tonight, I want to breathe hope to you. There is forgiveness. There is cleansing. Blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Boy, I believe that when David experienced that and when he poured it all out to the Lord and he knew the forgiveness of God, blessed, happy, relieved, I'm overwhelmed, I'm set free from that direction in my life. Thank God for his forgiveness. David's prayer for restraint was that he'd already been down the road. Could it be in your life that you've already been down the road of presumptuous sin in your life? You've already been there before. And David, having already been there before, said, Lord, keep me back. Lord, don't let me go there again in my life. David knew he couldn't keep going down that road, and you can't either. You can't keep living life knowingly doing what is wrong before holy God. Teenager, you can't keep living life deceiving your parents and living habitually doing things in closed doors, behind closed doors that mom and dad don't know about, committing presumptuous sins and expect it all to turn out right someday. You have to come under conviction before a holy God that says, God, I'm on a bad path. God, I can't keep going that way. God, can you cleanse me? Lord, would you be merciful enough to cleanse me from this kind of life? Give us some young people that are willing to deal with sin in their lives. You need to come clean tonight of presumptuous sin if you're involved in a pattern or a habit of sin that's against the light of Scripture, against your own conscience, against biblical counsel that you've received. May I remind you tonight, you have an advocate. In 1 John chapter 2, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What's that mean? That means if you confess, he'll go to God on your behalf. He'll defend you. He'll restore you back into his fold. If you've been thinking God hasn't judged me yet, I guess he's okay with this. You ought to let the Spirit of God destroy that thought in your mind tonight and deal with your sin before God. Remember, presumptuous sins are dangerous when we despise the Word. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10 tonight, because there is a presumptuous sin that takes you past the forgiveness of God. It's the continual presuming sin of unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, I want you to understand something about God. He's a patient God, but when He reveals truth to you, He expects you to obey it. He expects you to yield and submit yourself to it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law. Wait. We have that phraseology in the Old Testament, don't we? Numbers chapter 30. They sinned presumptuously. They sinned against knowing what God wanted. And they despised the word. Because they despised the word, it says. Now it's here in Hebrews chapter 10, pointing back to a people that despised Moses' law and died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. This is not the description of some ignorant heathen who has never heard about Jesus. This is a fearful description of somebody who has heard about Jesus. This is a description of somebody that grew up in a local church that heard the pure, undefiled gospel of Christ and denied it and rejected it and wanted their own way and lived a presumptuous life. And God says, how much sorer will your punishment be when you commit the presumptuous sin of unbelief? My friend, I want you to understand something tonight. God's not in the business of playing games with anybody. God's serious about truth. And He's serious about us walking in truth. Maybe tonight, it'd be good for you to begin to pray, Lord, I don't trust myself. Lord, keep me back from presumptuous sin. I've had the heartache of meeting with some that have chosen these directions. And may I say, it is a heartache. It is sad. It causes me to, I can't understand it. I can't understand somebody that's been given so much in Christ to turn their back on their faith and reject what they said they believed. By the way, my friend, biblically speaking, that's called apostasy. That's what it's called. It's somebody that never had the real thing in the first place. That's what it's dealing with. I read an old story about a king who was well known for his patience and gentle forbearance. But he had a certain servant who took advantage of the king's kindly disposition. With every transgression and every pardon, the servant became more and more reckless and eventually presumed to do just about anything, caring less about what the king thought. One day, the servant entered the presence of the king with his hat on, and the king rebuked him for his disrespect. And the servant said, I have a cold, and so I must keep it on. The king then said, you'll never catch a cold again, and then had his head cut off. One of the king's friends was surprised and said, you often pardon him for more serious crimes. The king replied, yes, but when the cup is full to the brim, it will not do to add a single drop, because then it will run over. That is this, the overflowing cup of God's mercy in our lives is wrath for the presumptuous sinner. Now, my friend, if you're here and you're playing church and you're playing God, a message like this is designed from the Holy Spirit to reach your heart where you're at. And to say, you know what? God's word, the light of God's word reveals where I'm at. And God, I'm not in good standing with you. And God, I'm not going to act in a presumptuous manner any longer. God, I'm going to act in a humble manner and ask for your mercy, my heart. So, Lord, I don't receive your wrath. Because God's mercy does have an end to it. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. But you have to understand, if God truly exercises his wrath, then that means that mercy has an end to it. I wonder, is God's cup of mercy up to the brim with you in your life? You see, he was serious about his request. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. And then he made a petition at the end. I want you to see this, to please God with his words and with his thoughts. You see, the only rule for you living well in this life is for you to desire to please God. That's living a good life. Psalm 19, look at verse 14. Let the word or words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is vital that our heart and our mouth are consistent in pleasing the Lord. David was offering a sacrifice here. In the Old Testament, when a worshiper brought an animal to the sanctuary to be sacrificed to the Lord, a priest would examine it to see if it was free of blemishes. If a blemish was found, neither the animal nor the worshiper was accepted by the Lord. David's coming to the Lord as an individual. He's saying, Lord, I'm going to offer you a sacrifice from my heart and from my lips this day. Lord, I want it to be acceptable. What he was saying was, Lord, examine me over the previous two verses. So, Lord, I'm offering something that is free of blemish to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. There are worldly phrases that are unacceptable to God, my friend. I hear it from young people once in a while. It bothers me every time I hear it. I won't say the whole phrase, but it's that and then an S word that is inappropriate that God is not excited about hearing about. Inappropriate, crass, dirty language is not acceptable unto the Lord. It may be acceptable at your workplace. It may be acceptable with a group of people that like to talk that way, but I want you to know it's not acceptable to God. It's not a sacrifice you can offer to God. Oh my G is unacceptable language. Gossip, slang, lying, slander, grievous words, arrogant words are unacceptable words. Filthy and rotten speech is corrupt, and it doesn't minister grace to God or to other hearers. But praise and thanksgiving and edifying words are acceptable words. Gospel witnessing is acceptable to the Lord. Personal testimonies that bring God glory are acceptable to the Lord. The psalmist says, may what's happening in my heart, may what's coming out through my mouth be acceptable unto the Lord. When David was under the light of Scripture, he prayed three prayers. The plea for acquittal from private sin. He prayed the prayer to keep me back, or the restraint from presumptuous sins. And he prayed the petition of, Lord, what I offer to you from my heart today and from my words, may it be acceptable unto you. You say, preacher, you think those prayers are good to pray on a daily basis? I do. Me praying about me before God, under the light of his word, reminding me that God sees my life, that God has the power to cleanse, and I need God's restraining work, and I need God's approval of my words and my heart. Brethren, that's important to the Lord. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed tonight. Three prayers to pray to God about me. I wonder if you're here tonight and you would say, preacher, I often focus on the outside. I often focus on what people would see and being right in public. I'm kind of bent that way in my own life. But oh, if I saw something tonight in the scriptures, God's looking on the inside as well. He's looking at what happens in my heart, the privacy of my heart. Maybe tonight you have something going on privately that nobody else knows about. You've not talked to anybody else about. It happens in your heart, or it happens in the dark, or it happens when no one else is around. And you're bearing the guilt of that tonight. And can I tell you, that is a heavy, heavy load to bear. But God says in His Word, through David's example, that you can ask God to cleanse you from your secret faults, and with that cleansing comes acquittal, to be free from the guilt of it. I wonder if you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I got a spirit sin going on in my heart. I got something else going on that's private." And you're right. The guilt is miserable. Preacher, I believe what God said in His Word that He will do. That if I ask for cleansing, He'll cleanse me and He'll remove that guilt and that sin. Preacher, please pray for me. I need to ask for cleansing about something private in my life. Would you raise your hand tonight? You're like that in this building. Pastor, please pray for me. There's something private, maybe no one else knows, but it's taking place in my life, or it has taken place in the past in my life, and I am bearing the guilt of it, and I don't want that load any longer. Preacher, I'm ready. Like David was ready to confess his sin, I am ready to confess my sin tonight. Would you raise your hand in this building if you're like that? Please pray for me, preacher. That's serious before the Lord. I know it is. Would you raise your hand with this other that has raised their hands tonight? Preacher, I have something that I need to confess to the Lord and find cleansing. I'm asking second, if you see the need to pray as David did about presumptuous sin. I'm asking if you see the danger tonight. If you see that it's very much within your realm to be able to get in a direction in your life where you commit presumptuous sin. And you would say, "Preacher, I'm convinced by Scripture that I need to pray that before God for my life." But there needs to be times, maybe it's a regular time, maybe it's a daily prayer that you pray, "Keep me back from presumptuous sin." Would you raise your hand if you see that need in your life to pray that tonight? Preacher, I see the need. If David needed to pray that, I need to pray that in my personal life. I don't want to go down that road. How many of you would say, "Preacher, I know what you're talking about when it comes to presumptuous sin. It's willful. It's knowing, it's in the face of the light of Scripture and knowledge of God's Word." And maybe there's someone here tonight who would say, "Preacher, I'm scared. In all reality, I got a serious fear of God tonight through the message. That, preacher, I'm very close, if not having crossed the line over in my life, to committing sins that are presumptuous. And preacher, God is dealing with me about it. And preacher, I saw in the scriptures there's forgiveness for somebody that, like me, that's on the brink of that or even has crossed the line into that in my life. Preacher, please pray for me. I need forgiveness. I've been involved in some stuff that is knowingly wrong in my life." Like David, I can identify with him in that sense. I know what I'm doing is wrong, or what I did is wrong. Please pray for me, preacher. I'm on the brink, or I may have even crossed the line in this area. I'm not asking God to keep me back. I'm asking God to forgive me of presumptuous sin in my life. Would you raise your hand tonight? You're like that? I see that hand. Is there someone else who would say, "Preacher, please pray for me. I don't want to be in that place." Wonder if you're a parent tonight and you have all kinds of philosophies on rearing children, but I wonder if God helped you to understand a biblical principle that, you know what, my kids cannot despise the Word of God. And I don't want to do anything in the way that I'm raising them that they end up despising God's Word and turning their back on what God's Word teaches. Preacher, as a parent, I am burdened to get the Word of God, to hold high the Word of God in their life, to correct them so that when somebody is speaking, when somebody has given them a command, they understand, they need to hear and obey. Preacher, I see the connection. I make the connection tonight. Please pray for me as a parent. Would you raise your hand in this building tonight? Please pray for me as a parent in this building tonight that I don't make decisions based upon likeness or because I want my kids to like me or be my friend, but I follow God's Word in that. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your Word. Lord, your Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, tonight I know is a heavy message. Lord, it's heavy to preach. Lord, it's heavy on hearts to hear. But dear God, you give us truth to affect change. Lord, to redirect our lives. Lord, to completely change course. And Lord, maybe you'll do that for someone here tonight. Lord, I know that you have spoken by your Spirit through the clear preaching of Scripture. Lord, I pray that we would respond tonight in whatever way you've dealt with our hearts. Lord, may we respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. The pianist plays. If God's dealt with your heart tonight on one of these fronts, could I invite you to come to an altar and bow humbly before him? Maybe it's a private sin you need to get freed of tonight. Maybe it's on the brink of presumptuous sin. Maybe it's a parent that's, maybe you haven't taken the serious nature and looked at where your kids will be at 5, 10, 15 years down the road. In light of how you're handling them today, if you're here and you just simply want to pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable unto you. Maybe you are burdened to pray and pray repeatedly, Lord, keep me back. Presumptuous sins in my life. Lord, help me not to knowingly step across your laws, your principles for my life. Help your hearts in the right place tonight in responding to the preached Word of God. Hymn number 57 in your songbooks, hymn number 57. Sing the first verse together tonight as we close the service. Search me, O God. Let God into every area of your heart. Let him touch your heart through his word. Sing with me on the first verse. Search me, O God. Some wicked way. always found when Dad would preach hard on sin, that God would deal with me. But boy, I left church good. I left church clean. I left church thanking God for willing to deal with me about my sin. You know what? I will preach hard messages like this, and you should know that in my private time, God deals with me about things from my own messages. And I have to stop, and I have to talk to God about those things. What I'm preaching for you is good for the preacher as well. And so tonight, I'm going to ask Pastor Jared to shake hands in the back, just so I can get with the deacons after the service here. If you have a need this week, please, please reach out to us. And then Pastor Todd will come with our closing announcements and a little bit about the couples conference this weekend. All right?
As I said this morning, I do have some papers. If you didn't get those, I think I got them to everybody. But if you're going to the couples retreat, I have a paper for you. We will be entering through the conference, the Hershey Lodge conference entrance. And so, but I do have a paper for you if you didn't get that for me from me this morning. Don't forget that tonight is the last night to sign up for your giving record. And so we sign up by number, and Tyler and Lynette will be printing out those giving reports. They'll be available starting next Sunday. And so please be aware of that. Check your printed announcement sheets. We've got a baptismal coming up, the Pine Car Derby, which is for all the church, not just the kiddos, but all the church. If you're going to participate in that, we do want you to sign up in the foyer notebook, and you can get your pine car down in the bookstore Wednesday night at 7 p.m. before the service. And then the Sweetheart Banquet is coming up. If you're going to go to that, we do need you to sign up by next Sunday, okay, so we can make the proper food order. So please be aware of that. If you have any questions on any of those things, you can see us. Deacons, we have a meeting Wednesday night. Not only do we have a meeting tonight, we got a meeting Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. Boys basketball tomorrow night, no Bible assembly. Eric Haywood does still have the petitions, so please see him if you haven't signed those. That's to get good candidates onto the ballots. Are there any other last-minute announcements before we're dismissed? All right. Boy, Gary Urey, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.